Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of Acts. We are in chapter 25. Acts chapter 25, beginning in verse 13. This is the reading of God's word. Several days later, King Agrippa and Bernice arrived in Caesarea and paid a courtesy call on Festus. Since they were staying there several days, Festus presented Paul's case to the king, saying, "There is a man who was left as a prisoner by Felix. When I was in Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews presented their case and asked that he be condemned. I answered them that it is not the Roman custom to give someone up before the accused faces the accusers and has an opportunity for a defense against the charges. So when they had assembled here, I did not delay. The next day, I took my seat at the tribunal and ordered the man to be brought in. The accusers stood up, but brought no charges against him of the evils I was expecting. Instead, they had some disagreements with him about their own religion and about a certain Jesus, a dead man Paul claimed to be alive. Since I was at a loss in a dispute over such things, I asked him if he wanted to go to Jerusalem and be tried there regarding these matters. But when Paul appealed to be held for trial by the emperor, I ordered him to be kept in custody until I could send him to Caesar." Agrippa said to Festus, "I would like to hear the man myself." "Tomorrow you will hear him," he replied. So the next day, Agrippa and Bernice came with great pomp and entered the auditorium with the military commanders and prominent men of the city. When Festus gave the command, Paul was brought in. Then Festus said, "King Agrippa, and all men present with us, you see this man. The whole Jewish community has appealed to me concerning him, both in Jerusalem and here, shouting that he should not live any longer. I found that he had not done anything deserving of death, but when he himself appealed to the emperor, I decided to send him. I have nothing definite to write to my lord about him. Therefore, I have brought him before all of you, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that after this examination is over, I may have something to write. For it seems unreasonable to me to send a prisoner without indicating the charges against him." Agrippa said to Paul, "You have permission to speak for yourself." Then Paul stretched out his hand and began his defense. "I consider myself fortunate that it is before you, King Agrippa, I am to make my defense today against all the accusations of the Jews, especially since you are very knowledgeable about all the Jewish customs and controversies. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. All the Jews know my way of life from my youth, which was spent from the beginning among my own people and in Jerusalem. They have known me for a long time. If they are willing to testify, that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee. And now I stand on trial because of the hope in what God promised to our ancestors, the promise our 12 tribes hope to reach as they earnestly serve him night and day. King Agrippa, I am being accused by the Jews because of this hope. Why do any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? In fact, I myself was convinced that it was necessary to do many things in opposition to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I actually did this in Jerusalem, and I locked up many of the saints in prison, since I had received authority for that from the chief priests. When they were put to death, I was in agreement against them. In all the synagogues, I often punished them and tried to make them blaspheme. Since I was terribly enraged at them, I pursued them, even to foreign cities. I was traveling to Damascus under these circumstances with authority and a commission from the chief priests. King Agrippa, while on the road at midday, I saw a light from heaven brighter than the sun, shining around me and those traveling with me. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice speaking to me in Aramaic. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. I asked, who are you, Lord? And the Lord replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. But get up and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and a witness of what you have seen and what you will see of me. I will rescue you from your people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a share among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Instead, I preached to those in Damascus first, and to those in Jerusalem, and in all the region of Judea, and to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works worthy of repentance. For this reason, the Jews seized me in the temple and were trying to kill me. To this very day, I have had help from God, and I stand and testify to both small and great, saying nothing other than what the prophets and Moses said would take place, that the Messiah must suffer, and that as the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light to our people and to the Gentiles. As he was saying these things in his defense, Festus exclaimed in a loud voice, "You're out of your mind, Paul. Too much study is driving you mad." But Paul replied, "I am not out of my mind, most excellent Festus. On the contrary, I am speaking words of truth and good judgment. For the king knows about these matters, and I can speak boldly to him. For I am convinced that none of these things has escaped his notice, since this was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you believe." Agrippa said to Paul, "Are you going to persuade me to become a Christian so easily?" "I wish before God," replied Paul, "that whether easily or with difficulty, not only you, but all who listen to me today might become as I am, except for these chains." The king, the governor, Bernice, and those sitting with them got up, and when they had left, they talked with each other and said, "This man is not doing anything to deserve death or imprisonment." Agrippa said to Festus, "This man could have been released if he had not appealed to Caesar." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. If you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? How would the evidence weigh out? I'm sure there'd be some things that would be in your favor. That is, pointing toward condemnation of Christians. There'd be some things they'd say, no, I saw that person with a Bible. Well, I was forced, okay? Yeah, but you went to that chapel and you, yeah, but they required that. Could you talk your way out of it, or would there be pretty incontrovertible evidence that you really are personally devoted to Jesus? That's the only real explanation for the way you live. You see, there are a whole lot of people who are very religious, but they don't know the Lord. Saul of Tarsus was one of those people. He shares his story here of being extremely devout. He had memorized tons of scripture. He was engaged in all kinds of religious activity. But when he encountered people who said that Jesus is the Messiah and that his crucifixion was wrong, but now he's conquered death and he's alive and he is Lord and you need to submit your life to him, boy, that made Paul furious. That made Paul furious. Paul was part of the religious establishment that had called for the crucifixion of Jesus. And now, he's being asked to say, I was wrong. That's a hard thing. Nobody wants to say, yeah, I was wrong. It's just no fun. We've got excuses. We've got rationale. Paul was standing there making a cogent argument, and it started to get uncomfortable for Festus. And instead of listening politely, because supposedly King Agrippa is the main audience, even according to Festus, he speaks up and he says, Paul, all your studying is making you crazy. What kind of statement was that? Crazy. Paul wasn't sounding crazy. Paul wasn't acting crazy. But this guy didn't want to hear the truth. When people respond that way to the truth, it isn't because they're stupid. It's because they hate the truth. The natural human response to God and his word, which is truth, is to go, we don't want it. God has to do a work in our hearts, like he did in Saul of Tarsus. The man was changed. His name was changed because he was a new person. And so when he's brought in to speak before King Agrippa, he knows something about King Agrippa. He knows that King Agrippa, even though he's a foreigner, has learned about the Jewish faith and about the Jewish scriptures and has become convinced that the Jewish scriptures are true. You know why? Because they're true. But that's not enough to get you into heaven. You can believe that the Bible is true and still go to hell. Do you think Satan knows that the Bible's true? Satan doesn't sit around wondering if he exists, right? Satan doesn't wonder if the miracles took place. It's not enough to believe intellectually that it's true. When the Bible talks about believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, the word there involves trust. It's a relational kind of thing. Is Jesus Christ your Lord? Are you trusting in him? Or do you just believe it's true? I'm telling you, I remember the moment when I realized that even though I believed all this stuff, I'd never responded to Jesus as if it was true. And I cried out to him to save me, and he did. And the way I know that he did is because he promised he would. But if you just believe it and you don't act on it, that is tragic.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, first, we see Paul's testimony. You know this story. You're familiar with it. Paul tells it more than once. But I want you to see in the midst of that testimony that Jesus was the one who came to him first with a blinding light brighter than the sun. He says it was at midday. Okay, when do we see the brightest sunlight in a normal day? Okay, at midday. So he's going along and the sun is as bright as it's going to get. And all of a sudden, there is a light from heaven that is far brighter than the sun. And Paul and his companions fall to the ground. And in the midst of that light shining on Paul and his companions, he hears a voice. And the voice calls him by name, Saul. Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And Paul says, who are you, Lord? See, he doesn't know Jesus. He knows about Jesus, but he doesn't know him. Jesus responds, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. I thought he was persecuting Christians. If you are genuinely a Christian, Jesus, the risen Christ, lives in you, and your life is hidden in him. And God promises that he will never let you go. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, the Lord responds. And then he says, but get up and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and a witness of what you've seen and will see of me. Jesus doesn't say to him, if you will do this, then I will do this. Jesus Christ is Lord. And when you encounter him, you realize that he's not just the one who forgives our sins. He's the boss. He's the king. And he sets the terms. And he tells you what you're to do. And if you've got a problem with that, you need to get saved. Because the fact of the matter is, Jesus didn't ask Paul to help. Saul is on his way to do something wicked in the name of God, thinking that this is what he can do as a good thing for God. And God appears to him in blinding light and says, I have a plan for you. This is what you're to do. So, after Paul responds very appropriately to Festus, verse 25, I'm not out of my mind, most excellent Festus. On the contrary, I'm speaking words of truth and good judgment. For the king knows about these matters, and I can speak boldly to him. For I'm convinced that none of these things has escaped his notice, since this was not done in a corner. That is one of the most beautiful testimonies to the fact of the resurrection. Okay? It was a very uncomfortable truth that a man who the Jews were determined to do away with and Rome assisted in his execution was alive again. And miracles were happening. The kind of thing that Jesus had done before the cross in order to demonstrate who he is. Those things were happening again, and the only explanation was It was done in the name of Jesus. I was carrying out his command. I was doing what he said. This is the work of Jesus through the church. These things didn't happen in a corner. Everybody knew about the crucifixion of Jesus, and everybody knew that people were saying he's alive. There were many witnesses before Jesus ascended back to the Father. And then, when Pentecost happened, now you had people from all over the kingdom, all over the Roman Empire, who were witness to a miracle and heard the glory of God being proclaimed in their own language. And they had gone out spreading the word. Over 3,000 were converted on the day of Pentecost. I mean, this thing is spreading and spreading. You can see why the religious establishment, including Saul of Tarsus, had been upset by it. And they're trying to do everything they can to stop it. Ruthlessly, as he said, imprisoning people and abusing them in order to try and get them to blaspheme. Now, when Paul describes what has happened, he says, I'm convinced none of these things has escaped his notice since this was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you believe. I mean, he's putting the king on the spot. I love this guy. This is God speaking through Paul to King Agrippa. Now, the king, like Festus, is uncomfortable. Agrippa said to Paul, are you going to persuade me to become a Christian so easily? Do you really think you can talk me into this right here on the spot? This is the first time I've met you. Don't you believe in pre-evangelism? Don't you think we need to build a relationship first and then gradually over time you can perhaps share this with me? But I mean, to try and just launch right into it and call me to respond. I'm uncomfortable with that. I think it's wonderful to do relationship evangelism and to build relationships with people and get to know them and let them know that you care and then prayerfully wait for the opportunity when God opens the door. Paul wasn't going to have a lot of opportunities to hang out with King Agrippa. So Paul, knowing this is my shot with this guy, not for his sake, Paul's not worried here about what's going to happen to him. He's concerned for what's going to happen to King Agrippa and Bernice. His motivation is not trying to put a notch in his belt and say, yeah, I led King Agrippa to Christ. His motivation is he does not want King Agrippa and Bernice and Festus and that centurion over there and that centurion over there and those servants who are over there. I don't want these people to go to hell. Because that's where people go if they don't put their trust in Jesus. If you do not receive him as your Savior and Lord, you're not going to end up somewhere in the suburbs for eternity. Please understand the reason why Paul, with such urgency, says what he does. He says, short time or long, easily or with great difficulty, I just want everybody here to be like I am, except for these chains. You understand? That's my prayer for you. I want you to know him. I want you to trust him. I want you to serve him. He loves you. He loves you so much he took your punishment on the cross. But just believing that it's true is not the same thing as trusting him and receiving him as your Lord and Savior. While you have the opportunity, don't miss it.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.